This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are delighted to have Jonathan Rauch with us. He has written about gay marriage, why it is good for gays, good for straights, and good for America. And you've written about a lot of other things as well over the course of your 20-something years as a journalist. This idea that you can go to something that's so tender in the American social milieu, if you will, and try to argue reasonably about something that is so emotional. Are you helping us to grow up? You talked about getting beyond childhood with the homosexual ability to grow up and take a big commitment. Aren't you also talking about American society having a chance to move beyond being infantilized?
Well, I don't know about grow up, but I guess I think the answer is yes, though I'd put it a little differently. I think I mentioned earlier that to straight America, marriage is like water and married couples are like fish in the water. And what I hope to do is to get straight people to think harder about why they have marriage, why it's so special, what it means, why it has to change over time as society changes, and why we've reached one of those junctures now. And yes, there is the further element that at a very fundamental level, what's happening here is gay couples, as couples, stepping forward and saying, we hold America to the promise of the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And these couples are saying there is nothing more essential to the pursuit of happiness than the ability to choose someone, marry them, and make a home and a family with them. That is so essential to our well-being that part of America's maturation is to extend that opportunity to all Americans, not lock anybody out.
I think it was Malcolm Gladwell that said it the most clearly. He was talking about, I don't even remember the context, the married people. And he said that frequently someone will say when a spouse dies that I feel like a part of me is dead. And he said that is technically correct, that we become so dependent on those people that we share our lives with. Just in technical things, I don't know where the checkbook is. I don't know how to find this. I don't even think about a whole range of things. And in fact, his argument is that it is technically true that when someone that you have that close, long-term binding relationship with goes away, then a substantial portion of who you are in the community, as well as to yourself, goes away.
Absolutely. Your identity, personal as a couple and as part of the community, are bound up in marriage, and it is a fact, undisputed, in over 100 years of social science. Married people are happier, they are healthier, they are more prosperous, they are more stable, they live longer, they have less dependency, less depression, less crime, on that, whether they have kids or whether they don't have kids. And even after you adjust for all the variables that might mess up the comparisons, this remains true. Marriage is essential to the well-being, to the fulfillment of life's promise for many people. And it actually makes us better people because it wraps us in this web of community and family. That's what marriage is unique about. Marriage takes people not related by blood or tribe or even nationality necessarily, and it makes them family. It makes them kin. Nothing else that we know of, not civil unions or domestic partnerships or cohabitation or anything else that we know of, can really do that.
Yeah, this wonderful line that one of society's big challenges is to, I don't remember the word you used first, but to domesticate young men. And that if one were to look at all kinds of lifestyle questions, if you didn't give young men the opportunity and obligation through marriage to be settled, that this is a real function. And again, it goes back to what you're talking about with the lifestyle issues that some people find objectionable, that giving homosexuals, men and women, lesbian and gay men, a chance to have marriage would have a really settling effect. This notion of domesticating people I found quite charming.
Yeah, well, it's a peculiar word to use because people think about house training for animals, and that's not the notion at all. But it's marriage is When you come of age, marriage is how you build a home. It's how you create a place where someone's waiting for you who's going to be there. Your home is where your marriage is. That's how you start young people in life and you stabilize them, you make them part of your community. People often say, I'm surprised you haven't said it yet. Isn't marriage for procreation? The answer to that is no. Sex is for procreation. Marriage is for creating family. And you need family whether you have kids or you don't have kids or you're young or you're old. Young people need marriage as a way to get started in life. Old people need marriage because of health problems and vulnerability. And people in the middle need marriage so that they can have someone to fall back on in life and look after them and be there for them for life's contingencies.
And then there is love. And you make a good argument that marriage is not for love, that love may be part of marriage, but that it isn't necessarily the reason for marriage.
People always accuse me of taking much too idealistic a view of marriage in this book, Paula, and in fact, the opposite is the case. And here's why. Marriage begins with love, and that's a crucial element. As Benjamin Franklin said, where there is marriage without love, there will be love without marriage. No dummy, Ben Franklin.
and he had experience thereof.
But what's unique about marriage is it keeps the relationship going even on the bad days when sex, infatuation, and romantic love aren't enough or in some cases aren't there anymore. It changes love into something deeper, a kind of long-term trust. And all those community expectations, not wanting to disappoint your parents, your in-laws, your neighbors, and knowing that you need to do the right thing, doesn't ensure that the marriage will hold up. Heaven knows lots of marriages end in divorce. But it does help keep people going for each other in those rough patches when if they split up, they may live to regret it. And if they stay together and they work through it, I think we all know couples like this. They come out the other side and they're better for it.
Go ahead.
You know, you don't make a point of it, but listening to you, the social piece is obviously very important, but it would also seem, particularly in the noisy world we inhabit, that those vows themselves are of very high significance, and the fact that they're done publicly and they have some legal standing, I think, is part of it. But those the words that are typically used in a marriage are, you know, it's pretty heavy stuff. When you hear those words coming out of your mouth, I think that's one of the reasons people tend to cry at weddings. Is, you know, those are very serious commitments. And most people, I think, do not make those kinds of commitments lightly. And it seems that personal piece of it, for each individual involved in it, as well as the social piece, is also very important.
Absolutely. There are really three pieces that make marriage what it is. One is the legal piece, the fact that it's hard to get out of because you'll go to a divorce court and all the benefits and burdens and obligations. The second is the social piece, which we've been talking about. Those are all the expectations of friends and families and the ceremonies. The third piece is just the reciprocity, standing there in front of all those people and saying to one other person, you're it. We're there for each other. That's a very, very unique moment in everybody's life.
We haven't talked specifically about children. It isn't just the question of is marriage for procreation. It is also the reality, and we have a number of gay friends who have adopted children. The children are in this mix, and the children may be the biological offspring of one of the partners within a union. They may be adopted. There are lots of ways that can happen, and there are the nieces and the nephews and all of the other children. The whole question of the younger generation and how, A, people relate to them in their own nuclear families, and then B, how do you deal with all of these kids who are coming up, who are our future, in terms of how homosexual people should be treated and how a family is? So this question about the children is you don't treat that in any way lightly, and it's one that you call us to really pay some attention to.
The nexus between marriage and children is so important, and there is no doubt that creating a stable, secure environment for children is one of the ways in which marriage is just irreplaceable. We don't know of anything on average that's remotely as good. Of course, single mothers can do just fine, and their kids often do just fine. But in terms of the averages and the statistics, marriage really is something special for kids. And of course, as you said, many gay couples now have kids, sometimes natural kids, by an earlier marriage, for example. According to the 2000 census, 28% of same-sex partnered households are raising kids. And I often say to my conservative friends, why would you want those kids to grow up with unmarried parents? For that matter, having gay couples modeling the behavior of marriage is good for the kids of the straight couple next door. You want the kids to grow up in a neighborhood where the model of a committed relationship is marriage, and where you can say to your kids, when you grow up and fall in love, you'll get married. You see the Mrs. Smith and Mr. Smith on the left, and Mr. Jones and Mr. Jones on the right, they're all married. That's what you should do. That strengthens marriage. It's good for kids.
Jonathan Rauch has written about these and many other related subjects in Gay Marriage, Why It Is Good for Gays, Good for Straights, and Good for America. Bill Russell joins me in inviting you to be with us when we come back.